Please turn with me to the book of Job. I shall be reading chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked, their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the torrents of rain, and a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on the land where no man is, on the desert in which there is no man, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the ground sprout with grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come forth? And who has given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maserath in their season, or can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that the flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the water skins of the heavens? When the dust runs into a mass and the clots stick fast together, can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey, when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food? This is the word of God.
Thank you, Luigi, for reading God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we conclude the book of Job, give us understanding, Lord. May your Spirit speak to us, in our mind and in our hearts. What is your word for us, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the movie Bruce Almighty, it's quite an old movie, Bruce, the main character, thinks that God was mistreating him and God is mismanaging the world. Bruce works in a small town as a television reporter. He's stuck with a mediocre job, an average apartment, and an ordinary life. And things doesn't seem to work for Bruce. He's always caught in a clumsy situation, sidelined for big opportunities. His life finally brightened up when there was news of a promotion. And Bruce thought that he was going to get that promotion. He longed for it. He's the person for the job. Unfortunately, he was betrayed and bypassed. Bruce lost his temper and he lost his job. In all this about his life that is happening, Bruce thinks that God was responsible for his life and all the misfortunes that is happening to him. The irony is, Bruce never believed in God, but he believed that God is responsible for all the bad things that is happening to him. Bruce's theology of God is this: God could have cleared any mess in the world in 5 minutes if he wanted to. And throughout the movie, Bruce was angry and bitter with God. And his description of God is this: God is like a mean kid sitting on an ant hill with a magnifying glass, waiting for the ants to pop out only to burn the feelers of the ants. And Bruce was like this helpless little ant, and God is this mean kid waiting for the ant to pop out only to burn the feelers. God was not only ruining his life, God was incapable of managing the world. Now, in the book of Job, Job had a similar charge against God. Job felt that God was not only mistreating him, if you read along the chapters and in between the lines, God was also incapable of governing this world. We heard Job's story. In a dramatic turn of events, Job lost his possession, he lost his children, he lost his health. And his friends, or his so-called friends, tried to rationalize and theologize Job's position. And their only explanation is that Job is suffering because he has done something bad. And therefore, the equation is, if you've done something bad, you repent and God will reward you. They couldn't accept that the righteous can suffer even if you do not do anything wrong. And so Job maintains his innocence throughout the book. He felt that God is the one who has mistreated him. And if you look at chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, Job says, I loathe my life. I hate my life. I will say to God, do not condemn me. He asked God, what do you have against me? He accused God in verse 3, chapter 10, of showing favoritism to the wicked. He says to God, does it seem good to you to oppress, to despise the work of your hand and favor the designs of the wicked? You are showing favoritism. He asks God if you are blind in verse 4, verse 10. Have you eyes of flesh? Do you not see as man sees? And he felt that God created him to destroy him. Chapter 10, verse 8, your hands fashioned me, and you made me, and now you destroy me altogether. What's the point of all this, God? So God is like this big bully, and Job challenged this bully throughout the book for a debate. Withdraw your hand from me, and stop frightening me with your terrors. Summon me, and I will speak. Chapter 13. Let me speak, and you reply. And then if you look at chapter 20, verses 7 to 16, Job accused God of mismanaging the world. He questioned God, why do the wicked get to live long life? Why do they stay in power? Why do their children prosper? Why do those who have no regard for God get to party and enjoy life all day? Why do they continue to be rich? What profit is there for those who worship God and serve God faithfully when others who do not worship God or do not believe in God get to prosper? All this in chapter 20. Job's point is that this is an unfair world and is being managed in an unjust system. Those who do not believe in God prosper, and those who are faithful suffer. Do you feel Job? If God is in control of my life, why are things like that not working out for me? Why do people who do not believe in God get to enjoy life while those who are serving God faithfully are stuck with a mediocre life? Each time we read about the world, we see news of wars and suffering. There seems to be more bad news than good news. Is God really capable of managing this world? Have things gotten out of hand? Why must we lose a faithful deacon and a friend and a loved one so suddenly? Is God this mean kid with a magnifying glass waiting to burn off our feelers? Job wants to issue a summon to God. He wants to prosecute God. In chapter 13, verse 3, he tells God this, "But I will speak to the Almighty. I desire to argue my case with God. Let the Almighty answer me." In our passage today, God shows up. God accepts Job's proposal to have him on trial. And the entire speech between God and Job is recorded from chapter 38 to chapter 41. And these three chapters is probably the longest conversation that God had with a man recorded in the Bible. I will focus on chapter 38 and conclude this wonderful book. In verse 3, chapter 38, God summons Job. All right, Job, dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. In another version, the word dress for action is gird up your loins. You know, in the olden days, men wear ropes, long ropes like sarong. To gird up your loins is to tuck in the shirt of your robe under your belt. It is the attire of a sumo wrestler, all tucked in, ready for a fight. And God says, all right, Job, you have accused me. You seem to know how to run this world better. Now pull all your strength together, get up your loins, and let's have a wrestling match. But the match is not about a physical fight. It is, God, you challenge my wisdom. Now, Job, let me challenge your wisdom. And in verses 4 to 7, God asked Job about the formation of the world. Where were you when I created the world, when I laid the foundation? Are you there, Job? Do you have the blueprints of how this world was created? Did you come out with the measurements of this world? In verses 8 to 11, God asked Job about the origin and the boundary of the sea. Who shut up the sea in the doors when it bursts out from the womb? The sea in the ancient world is a fearful place. Even now, the sea is a fearful place. It's a fearful force. Nobody dares to go near him. Go near a sea, in the open sea. And God asked Job, Job, did you give birth to the sea? Are you the one who set the limits and the boundaries of the sea? One of Job's accusations is that the wicked is prospering and God is allowing it to happen and not doing something about it. In verses 12 to 15, God's reply is, have you commanded the morning since your days began, caused the dawn to know its place? Do you know how to call the morning out? Do you know how to make the sun set? That it may hold the skirts of the earth, the wicked may be shaken, that is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stands out like a garment from which the wicked, their light withheld, and their uplift arm is broken. God asked Job, in other words, you know, have you commanded the morning light? Have you caused it to shine on a given day? The answer is no, Job don't have this power. Job cannot command and eliminate the wicked either. But their ways are not hidden from God. They may hide in darkness for a little while, but the light of God's judgment will come. God says, I will break their arm. It's just a matter of time. And then in verses 16 to 24, God asks Job a series of questions. Have you traveled to the outer limits of the world? Have you been to the depth of the sea? There's one verse there. Do you know death? Have you been there? Do you know how far is the east? How about the heights of the heavens, Job? You know it? Job wanted to prosecute God, but we can imagine Job standing there facing God with all, and God asking him all these questions, dumbfounded. How is man going to answer all these questions? No one knows the answer, and that's the point, really. Only God has the answers to these mysteries, because he's the one who created all things, and all things come under his control. But God continues to press his accuser. In verses 28 to 38, God asked Job, who fathered the rain? Do you think the rain come just by itself like that? Who gave the rain? Who fathered it? Who gave birth to ice, Job? Who ordains the chemical changes between ice, water to ice? Then God took him another part of creation and said, how about the stars and the galaxies? Job, can you call the stars? Can you rearrange them? Do you know their names? Can you bring forth the rain or command the clouds? Can you command and and make a channel for the rain to travel? Can you make a path for the lightning to go? The forgotten places where it needs water, Job. Do you know where to send? That's only chapter 38. If you look at chapter 39, God turns the conversation now to animals. It starts in verse 39 of 38, chapter 38, and God asked Job, Job, can you hunt the prey for the lion? Who gave the lion the instincts to hunt the prey? Now, all these questions tell that God is the one who created the lion and gave it the ability to hunt. A few weeks back, I was walking on a pavement going back to my HDB block, and then I saw a mother hen with four of her chicks on the slope. I thought, wow, such a cute little sight, a family of chickens. The next thing I know, the mother hen suddenly crossed my path and wanted to cross my path to go to the other side with her four little chicks. And so I slowed down, you know, I thought, let you cross first, although you didn't give a signal. And when she got to the other side, she suddenly turned around and looked at me, staring at me, head down, beak up, her wings up. And she dashed at me. And I was shocked. I walked backwards. I wish at that point I could speak chicken language. I wasn't trying to do anything funny, you know. I really slowed down for you. Anyway, you are the one who did not give the signal. And then I walked backwards. She walked back to her little chicks. And then she stared at me and she came again, you know. And when she did it for the third time, I said, okay, that's it, I'll take the staircase. Maybe the mother had thought I was getting too close to her chicks, or, you know, I found out where is their secret hideout. Honestly, I was a little bit traumatized by it. But I found it hilarious. I was chased by a chicken, and I chickened out. You know, but the encounter led me to think, who gave Mother Hen this instinct, this brave instinct to protect her young, that she will face up to a giant? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Who has let the wild donkey go free? Did you give the horse his might? Do you know why the hawk soar and why the eagle is designed to make its nest on high? God asked Job these questions in the following chapters. Job questioned God, why is all this happening to me? Do you know how to rule the world? Why did you take my loved ones away? Why do I have to suffer even though I did nothing wrong? Why are you so mean and unfair? God didn't answer Job all these questions. God took Job for a walk in creation and asked Job for his wisdom. God asked Job more questions. What does God want Job and us to understand from all these questions? You know, God is like a teacher here who probes his students by asking questions, to probe the students to think and to learn. But if you look at all these questions, there's only one answer: God. You can imagine Job standing before God and God asking all these questions, and Job will be, it's you, Lord. You are the one, Lord. You are the one who created all this. Do I know the limits of the east and the west? It's you, Lord. Who gave the lions the instinct? It's you, Lord. Every question, the answer is God. God has been there since the beginning of the time. God is the one who determines the boundaries of the seas and how this entire planet works. God is the one who cares and knows how to feed each animal by giving them their characteristics, each of them different. The questions reveal that God is in sovereign control of this world, Job's life, and your life, my life. Nothing has slipped from his hand. If you look at the airport, at the runway, everything looks so chaotic. Airplanes are trying to land, a group of vehicles are rushing in to transport luggages, another truck comes in to refuel the tank, and while all these are happening, the aeroplanes in other runway are trying to take off and land. But despite the seemingly disorder on the ground, one place remains in control. And this is the place that ensures that every plane takes off and lands safely. And that is the control tower. Things may look a little bit frenzy on the ground, but control tower is in control. God's question to Job tells that he knows his job. Things may look unruly, out of control in our lives and what's going on in the world, but tower is still in control. And we can trust that our lives and this world are in God's good hands. That's the first thing. God is in sovereign control of the world. The second thing that these questions point to us is that it reflects God's care to entire creation and for our life. You see, God's question opens up Job's mind and our mind to see his wise and loving care for his creation. God cares for the majestic animals and those that we ignore and we despise. You know, the last verse asks, God asks Job, who provides for the raven and its prey? Who provides for the raven, its prey, and a young one call God for help and wonder about the lack of food? Have you ever thought about the young birds that needs food? Do you care? God cares. And it's very interesting because in the Old Testament ritual laws, the raven is an unclean bird. The people of God will not go through a raven, and that's because the raven is a scavenger. It does not hunt its own food, it eats dead carcasses. From afar it sees and it sweeps down at feet of. And in times of scarcity, when the young one cry out for food frantically, verse 41 highlights that God knows that these young birds need food. And if God cares for these unclean birds, so-called unclean birds in Israel's ritual custom, if he has compassion for these little ones, do you think he does not care for your life? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather in bunches, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? If God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown over the oven, will he not clothe you, you of little faith? I believe that God's message to Job in all these questions is, Job, church, look around you. I am the one, God is the one who sustains every creature and every plant. He knows how to care for each living creature, even the ones that we ignore and we despise. And do you think that God has forsaken you? In the movie, Bruce Almighty, God also responded to Bruce's accusation. And he tells Bruce, all right, Bruce, why don't you take over my job? I'll go for a vacation. And God did in the movie. He went for a 1 week vacation and he gave Bruce his power for 1 week. And at first, Bruce was enjoying God's power. He moved the stars and the moon for his girlfriend, and then it caused a tsunami in Japan. And in one particular scene, Bruce, because he's God now, he has to answer prayers, millions of prayers that will go through his mind. And Bruce couldn't take it. He's so fed up with these never-ending prayers that comes again and again and again. And so he created a system, he put it in a software, and he just copy and paste yes to all the prayers. Everybody's prayers got answered. Everybody won the lottery. But that caused chaos, unhappiness, riots. And Bruce caused a big mess in the world that he couldn't take it. He finally gave up and he told God, things are out of control. I do not know what to do. You win. I do not want to be God. I want you to decide what is right for me. I surrender to your will. When you come to chapter 42, Job responded with such humility. He says in verse 2, I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours will be touted. Verse 5 and 6, I have heard you by the hearing of my ear, and now my eyes have seen you. I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job learns to surrender to God. Surrender his complaints, surrender his unanswered prayers. Job realized through the questions who God is. God knows all things. He cares for everything which we don't even think about. Who God is in his situation speaks louder than why this is happening to me. And Job began to trust God again, that God is indeed in control of this world and his life, even though he still do not have the answers. Perhaps Job's question doesn't matter anymore because he finally sees who God is. Brothers and sisters, we may not have answers to our situation, but who God is in my situation speaks louder than why is this happening to me. It's been a difficult week, past 2 weeks, for us as a church. We mourn the loss of a very dear brother and a deacon who just gone suddenly. And as I was pondering what to share at the wake service, the thought reminded me again who he is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. The Lord Jesus says this, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys to death and the Hades." Jesus' first words to the disciple then, John, who was alone and afraid, is, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Why? Because I am the first and the last. I am the originator of life. I am in sovereign control of history and how the entire world will end. And he will accomplish his good purpose in our life. We may struggle with why our brother's life was taken away from him. We ask for answers, but Jesus tells us, "I died." Even God is not spared from the agony of death. But his words to us is also, "I am alive forever." And because Jesus is alive, his resurrection is a guarantee to our raising from the dead. And Jesus tells us, "I have the keys to death and the Hades." And that implies that he can unlock death. He has the power and the authority to give life again. Now, all these truths, when you put it together, what it means to me is, I can look forward. Those who love the Lord, walk with him, and love weeping, can look forward to eternity and a grand reunion. Why can we be confident? Because Jesus holds the keys to death. There are uncertainties, puzzles, and ambiguities in life. We may not be in the best time of our lives. There are questions that we long for answers. But the book of Job tells us, God knows his Job, and he knows his Job. He knows all his Jobs who are suffering. Job made peace with God. Will you make peace with him? Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, let's give us some time to respond to the Lord. Does God seem cruel to you? Have you ever felt that life is unfair? Have you asked God, are you still for me? The Lord wants you to know in Romans chapter 8 that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you trust him? That he cares for you. Even if in this life things don't work out, he holds the keys to your life and the life to come. Let's take some time to respond to the Lord. Heavenly Father, no one knows this world better than you. You've been there from day one. You created all things. You love your creation. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we are so preoccupied with ourselves, we fail to see you in we fail to see how great you are, Lord, and how much you care for us. Help us, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight, to look to you and to trust you, to find peace with you, because you know your job. And you know the jokes among us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In response, may this song remind us who is in control, that who is our glorious hope, who is our strength and comforter.
Love is sure. Before him, all of time in his hands, for his throne shall remain and never stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands. For his throne shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in this name. Oh, my God is the Ancient of Days. Oh, my God is the Ancient of Days.
What a joy and comfort to know that God, you know each and every one of us by name. That Lord, in life there are so many puzzles, but God, we trust you to do your job. We trust that you have everything in control. Most of all, we know that you care for us. Through today's sermon, Father, may it remind us and inspire us to find hope, find joy, find strength in the God of all creation, the God of all comfort, the God who cares for each and every one of us. This we pray and ask in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Morning. Still sleeping. Morning. Morning. All right. Is there any one of you who is here for the first time? Can you raise your hand so that we can welcome you? Any one of you? Okay, if not, let's move to the announcement. Now, first of all, a reminder that the English Presbytery Missions Festival is around the corner. And let's watch this publicity.